invite you then to hear the word of the Lord. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but he'll make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. This is why he said, he takes from me and delivers to you. The word of the Lord. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, I guess it's appropriate. I don't know. I woke up this morning. I looked into the mirror, kind of thinking about graduation Sunday, and probably a little bit more specific, those from high school. And I looked into the mirror, and I was like, I got a huge zit right here under my nose, like just, which I guess that's okay. And I'm like, okay, so I'm still young enough to have acne, but then how can I be old enough to have like heart surgery? You know, it's like one or the other. It's like, it shouldn't be both. You shouldn't be old enough to have like your heart worked on and young enough to, you know, need some zit cream. So I guess that's me though. Well, I remember so clearly still when I graduated from high school, and I had gotten a job to work down at this camp in Kansas City, owned and operated by Youth Front, and I was going to be the head lifeguard. And so when I graduated towards the end of May, I needed to get down to Kansas City. It was like literally like the next day, my parents loaded me up in one of our vehicles, and I drove from Seward, Nebraska, down I-29, and showed up here in Kansas City, not really knowing really anybody. I knew a couple of folks out at the camp, and was kind of looking forward to be there. But that journey down from Seward, Nebraska to Kansas City literally was like transforming for me. I changed, or it was a step in my growth. I mean, my parents have been here. You've kind of have met them. I have a younger sister, an older brother, and it was hard. It was hard for me leaving on one sense, because I just kind of grew up in this small little town of about 5,000 people, and I loved it. I loved school, loved high school, I loved playing sports. I just, the whole thing was awesome. And so leaving to come here, I like bawled and was like crying. But at the same time, I was filled with like excitement and hope of what the future might bring or what the future might hold. But what it really did for me in that moment of kind of feeling alone, physically being alone, driving the 4 hours or so, just really becoming aware in that stillness and in that quiet, just God's reality, the reality of this God who I'd said I loved and was seeking to follow but had never seen or heard, just in my car, just this sense that God was going with me. And that he would continue to be with me, that he was authoring and kind of leading me in this next phase of my life. And so, like I said, the tears were coming. I was very raw, very just crying out to God for help. And at the same time, like I said, just excited about what the future would bring. And I really do feel and believe and sense that the Holy Spirit was just with me in that moment, kind of leading me and sustaining me. You know, in John 16 and in and around, we've been in John's gospel a lot these last several weeks, and there's one point in there that Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, and I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And as I was leaving my parents, I felt orphaned a little bit, but yet at the same time kind of feeling the Holy Spirit coming alongside me to be with me. And I think, you know, those of you graduating, some may be leaving home, some maybe not, for all of us, wherever we are, it's a new chapter, right? It's a new journey. Whatever tomorrow brings, it's different, it's new, it's a new day, it's different. But it may be even more sharply focused as you leave high school and kind of make that transition from, you know, child to adult, or, you know, whatever that you want to call it. And I just want us to just to examine or consider the fact of what does it really mean to have the Holy Spirit with us. Trinity Sunday, and we, as I mentioned earlier, and we celebrate that, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they kind of work together to create this home and this place for us. So each one of us, we have today, we have what Eugene Peterson translates this word, this friend. We have this friend that's with us. A lot of translations use the word advocate, which just means someone that's called alongside to help. We have this friend, this one who is called alongside of us to help us, to take that next step in our journey with us. Other times it's translated the helper, the counselor, the comforter, the guide. We have this being with us to comfort us, to help us. So I just want you to keep that in mind during this next year. When you find yourself confused, to remember that you have someone with you who knows the way. And when you're feeling weak or inadequate, that you have one that's called the helper who will come alongside and will strengthen you. And perhaps you're going to find yourself in this next year feeling discouraged. It didn't go as planned. A friend let you down, or a teacher just is not fair. And you feel discouraged. To remember that you have one with you who is there to comfort you. In John's gospel, the Spirit, it is the Spirit all throughout John's gospel, again and again, it is the Spirit who reveals or discloses or makes known the very presence of the risen Jesus Christ and his Father to the community of faith. Over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit reveals, discloses, points to the risen Jesus Christ to the community of faith. I think I have this story true, but Derek, now I guess I can call my son-in-law. I think it was him. It could have not, but we'll just say it was him. I think it was a Snapchat, and it might not have been, but we'll say that it was. But sent this like picture to our family, we'll say. It might not have been, but we'll say that it was. And but it was like a real picture of kind of like Kansas City, maybe, downtown. But then he had put like seven, I don't even know what they're called, but instead of a real picture, like animated, you know, like a car on I-70, but it was like an animated car. And then instead of like a real bird, it was like this cartoon bird. And there was like seven of these things in there, and it was like, see if you can find the seven, I don't know what he called them, animated deals. And so you had to really study this picture, because, you know, just at first glance, nothing stood out. It looked fine. But if you kind of blow it up a little bit and look around, oh, that bird's, you know. And we couldn't get it at first. We couldn't find all of them. So then a little while later, he sent the same picture, but he circled in red, you know, each of the fake cartoon-colored tree and whatever it was. So when I was sitting this, thinking about, like, the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, the risen Savior in and amongst our ordinary everyday life. And sometimes it can be hard to see Jesus. Where is Jesus in this moment? Where is Jesus in this occupation that I have that maybe I hate? Where is Jesus in this schoolwork? Where is Jesus in this new town? Where is Jesus in this show? Where is Jesus among these friends? And we can miss that, especially when there's so many other distractions and things going on. It's the Holy Spirit that, like this red circle, just highlights Jesus. So you look at, oh, there's Jesus. There's Jesus in this moment. There's Jesus today. There is the one who is life itself. There is the one drawing me to himself. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals and discloses and makes known to us the resurrection power of God, who offers life and hope and possibilities in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our brokenness. The Holy Spirit shines the light on Jesus, who brings life and hope. So in this next year, look for and listen to the Holy Spirit. In John 14:23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him, our dwelling, our abode." Think about that, because a lot of times, you know, different people's theology can be like, oh, when we die, then we'll go to heaven. But it seems in John's gospel and throughout the text, it's more a reality that heaven comes to meet us here and now. Not maybe in its fullness, but at very least a preview, a sampling, a taste of heaven coming to earth. If anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come to that person, and we will make our abode, our home, our dwelling place with him. And so the Holy Spirit, in a sense, bringing heaven to you today, wherever you find yourself. And again, maybe if it's not in its fullness, then at least a taste, at least a little bit of hope, a little glimmer of light. Heaven on earth, as Jesus is revealed, the one who said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. So this Holy Spirit, what does it look like then to live and to experience that reality? I think there's kind of maybe two ways of that I tend to kind of think of that. And one, it is almost like the air that's here that fills this room. And there's different imagery and wording throughout the scriptures that we can breathe in. The same way that we'd breathe in the air that give us life, we can breathe in to the Holy, we can breathe in the Holy Spirit. And a lot of church history would practice these things called breath prayers, to just practice the presence of God with every inhale. Just, he must increase, I must decrease, John the Baptist said. It's almost just like this breathing in the Holy Spirit, him increasing, exhale my old life, him increasing, me decreasing. And we can breathe in. The scriptures also talk about entering into that reality, in the same way that we all walked into and we entered into this space, that we can enter into the life of the Spirit, and we can enter into that and experience that and allow that to be our reality. And I would say that this life of the Spirit, living by the Spirit, knowing the Spirit, experiencing this little bit of heaven here on earth, yes, it's personal. It's a very personal thing. It requires you to give your assent, to bow your knee in your heart and say, Jesus is Lord. It's personal, but it's not private. The Holy Spirit, throughout the text, it was given to the body of Christ. I have learned this in being married for about 29 years. If I want to be with my wife, I need to go to where her body is. She's housed in her body. My son going to school in Springfield, if I want to be with Logan, I've got to go to where his body is located. And I've got to get in my car and drive, you know, down 7 and wherever, and show up in Springfield, because that's where Logan is located in his body. I think in a similar way, the Holy Spirit is located in the body of Christ. It's located in the church. Pentecost Sunday, right? Last Sunday, the Holy Spirit was breathed out, and it was the church that was given birth. The church received the Holy Spirit. This next year, if you want to taste and see and experience and be immersed in and know life and life to its full, then immerse yourself into the church as community, because that's where you will experience and find and enter into the reality of the Holy Spirit. Not just some idea, not just some hope, but to experience it in real life. So immerse yourself fully into church as community. And if you're changing location, that can become a little bit difficult, right? Because it's not going to be the same as what you've experienced here and the people that you know and love you, and you're at some other location, and so you're trying to find that. But I would just strongly encourage you, in order to have life, to have this comforter, to have this strength, to have this guide with you, immerse yourself into the church as community. The second thing I would strongly encourage you, in a similar way for me, it was just a gift for me, but when I made that four-hour drive from Seward, Nebraska, down here to Kansas City, it was just quiet, and it was stillness. And God spoke to me in that stillness and in that quiet. When I didn't have other distractions, I wasn't listening for other things, and I was just there. And God's presence was real, and I could hear God speaking to me, leading me, guiding me, offering me hope, offering me his presence. So I would encourage you to practice silence. I mean, I would say be as specific as maybe it's on a daily thing. Like every time I have a meal, I'm just going to put my phone away. I'm just not going to have my phone out while I eat, because it can be just so distracting, and you can just get so drawn to that next text or Snapchat or Instagram or what's happening on Facebook. Just put it away. For maybe it's a certain amount of time each day, or maybe it's it's all day Sunday afternoon, or I don't know what it is, but figure out some time when you can just put those things away. And so, you know, I'm just going to put myself in a posture of being still and where it's quiet and I can hear God and listen to him speak to me. And then just kind of with that same attitude, I would encourage you to open your heart to hear God's Spirit through his scriptures and in creation. I mean, there's lots of ways we could talk about, but I would say immerse yourself in the church's community. Practice stillness and quiet. Fast from the noise of your radio, the TV, the internet, your phone. Just be intentional about setting that aside for a certain amount of time. And then have that heart, your heart be open to hearing what God wants to say through the scriptures to you. And what God wants to say to you just through the beauty of creation. Getting outside on a day like today and just being able to take a walk with just open eyes and open ears and open heart to what God would want to say to you. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that you have not left us alone. Lord, for those who are here this morning suffering extreme loss, loss that is almost too great to put into words, but it pierces deep. Be with them, loving them, holding them, sustaining them, offering them hope. Father, I thank you that having loved us, you loved us to the end, that there would be nowhere that we could go that you would not be, that there would not be an experience that we could have that you could not be with us in that experience, because you know the pain and the suffering of abandonment and rejection and death. Lord, I pray for each student, for each graduate, for each one entering into a new season of life, that God, they would sense your Spirit, that they could say with the psalmist, you have shown me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. May we know that joy, that peace, that pleasure, and that presence of your Spirit with us, revealing to us the fullness of God revealed in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together, declare our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.